Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 71. Will there be degrees of reward in heaven? Scripture, Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Will there be degrees of reward in heaven? This is a question around which there has been much controversy throughout the history of the Church. Many men whose doctrine has been thoroughly biblical in other areas have been in grave error concerning rewards. I know that I will not settle the controversy surrounding this question in this brief study. That is not my purpose. It is my responsibility to teach those things which become sound doctrine and build up God's elect in the faith of Christ, so that you will not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. The issue by which this question must be settled is very clear. Is God's salvation in its entirety the work of his free grace in Christ, or is it not? If, as the scriptures everywhere assert, our salvation is altogether the work of God's free grace, if our works have nothing to do with it, and heavenly glory is but the consummation of that salvation, then there can be no degrees of reward in heaven. Footnote. Salvation involves all that is required to bring a sinner from the ruins of the fall into the glory of heaven. End of footnote. Without question, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No part of salvation can be in any measure attributed to the will, worth, or works of man. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Romans 11, verse 6. If it is possible to separate heavenly rewards from salvation, then one might imagine that there shall be degrees of reward in heaven. But if heaven and the glorious inheritance of the saints in heaven is only the consummation of salvation, then the doctrine that there shall be degrees of reward in heaven is but another subtle way of teaching salvation by works. It is impossible to separate heavenly glory from salvation. The doctrine. What is the doctrine of those who teach degrees of reward in heaven? I realize that some who teach that there are degrees of reward in heaven may have slightly different opinions than others, but basically their doctrine is the same. I do not wish to put words into the mouths of others, so I will give you the doctrine in the words of one of its leading proponents. Merrill F. Unger wrote, "Rewards are offered by God to a believer on the basis of faithful service rendered after salvation. It is clear from Scripture that God offers to the lost salvation and for the faithful service of the saved, rewards. Often in theological thinking, salvation and rewards are confused. However, these two terms must be carefully distinguished. Salvation is a free gift, John 4 verse 10, Romans 6 23, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, while rewards are earned by works, Matthew 10, 42, Luke 19, 17, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, 2 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8. Rewards will be dispensed at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, Romans 14 verse 10. The doctrine of rewards is inseparably connected with God's grace. A soul being saved on the basis of divine grace, there is no room for the building up of merit on the part of the believer. Yet God recognizes an obligation on his part to reward his saved ones for their service to him. Nothing can be done to merit salvation, but what the believer has achieved for God's glory recognizes his great faithfulness with rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Here are five things involved in the teaching that there will be degrees of reward in heaven, as stated by Mr. Unger. Number one, salvation is limited to the initial experience of conversion. In the Word of God, no such separation exists. The Scriptures never separate one part of salvation from another. Matthew 10, verse 22, Romans 8, 28 to 30, Romans 13, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, verse 4. Number two, it is possible for a person to be saved and not be a faithful servant of Christ. Nothing can be more contrary to the words of our Lord. See Luke 14:25-33. There is no such thing as a believer who does not live in submission to Christ as his Lord. Believers do not always act faithfully, but they are all faithful. To be a believer is to be a saint, sanctified, and to be numbered among the faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:1. Number three, men and women, by their service to God, put God under obligation to reward them. What an atrocious statement. Is it possible for a sinful man or woman to do anything to merit God's favour, to earn God's blessing? Can a mere man oblige the Almighty? We are debtors to God. He is not and cannot be made a debtor to us. Footnote. Let the reader ask himself, what have I ever done or even thought that is worthy of God's acceptance? If, as every child of God humbly acknowledges, sin is mixed with all we are and do, 1 John 1:8-10, and our very righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of the infinite holy Lord God, Isaiah 64:6, we certainly cannot oblige the Almighty on account of our deeds. End of footnote. Number four, there will be two judgment days, one for believers and another for unbelievers. The Word of God never hints at the idea that Christ will come again twice, once in secret and then in open, or that there will be two distinct resurrection days, or that there will be two separate days of judgment. Such fabrications are but the inventions of men, in an attempt to make the Word of God fit into their theological systems. Number five, believers will yet have to suffer for their sins. The doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven unashamedly declares that those for whom Christ has suffered all the wrath of God, whose sins he put away, will yet suffer in heaven for their sins after God saved them, that they will suffer the shame of loss in the presence of those who earned a greater measure of glory, those who by their great goodness obliged God to give them a greater inheritance. The Lord God says otherwise. He declares that he will never charge his people with sin. Romans 4:8, Romans 8:32-34. The doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven is nothing less than a Protestant version of purgatory. Heavenly glory is not everlasting sorrow, but everlasting bliss. Implications. Such doctrine has unavoidable implications. If the doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven is accepted, then it must be acknowledged that heaven's glory is not the reward of grace, but the payment of a debt. It must be acknowledged that heaven is not a place of unmingled joy as the scriptures assert, Revelation 7:15-17, Revelation 21:1-5, and 22:2-5, but a place of mingled joy and grief. If the doctrine of degrees of reward is accepted, it must also be accepted, contrary to the plainest statements of divine revelation, that God does withhold some good things from them that walk uprightly, and some evil shall fall upon the just. Psalm 84:11, Proverbs 12:21. Again, if the doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven were accepted, then we would be forced to conclude, in direct opposition to the universal teaching of Holy Scripture, that the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ will not alone be sufficient for our acceptance with God, that some part of God's favour, some of the blessings of God, must be earned by us, that salvation is partly a matter of works and not altogether the gift of God's free grace in Christ. These implications are inescapable and utterly blasphemous. Yet they must be accepted if we accept the doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven. Why has this issue been stated so dogmatically? Why have I dealt with this so pointedly? It could have been passed over with little or no notice. Few, if any, would have realized its omission. Here are five reasons for my decision to write as I have on this matter. Number one, the doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven is totally without foundation in the Word of God. Not one passage referred to in support of this doctrine even hints that some saints will have more and some have less in heaven. Not one of the crowns mentioned in the Bible are said to be given only to certain believers. All the saints before the throne have the same golden crowns, crowns which they gladly cast before the feet of the Lamb. Revelation 4, verse 10. Number 2. It is totally contrary to the plain statements of Holy Scripture. Here are 8 passages of Scripture given without comment, which utterly nullify the absurd doctrine of degrees of reward in heaven. Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said to them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the labourers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I give unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can there be degrees of holiness, degrees of perfection, degrees of faultlessness, degrees of glorification? Nonsense. Number 1. The doctrine of degrees of reward, of heavenly rewards earned by personal obedience, makes service to Christ a legal, mercenary thing. Such doctrine promotes pride. If one person could obtain a bigger crown, a higher rank, or a greater nearness to God by his works than another, he would have every reason to polish his halo, strut around heaven, and have those poor, crownless people living in the back street slums of the New Jerusalem bow and scrape before him. Not only does the doctrine promote pride, it threatens punishment. It attempts to put God's people upon a legal footing before God, threatening the loss of reward and everlasting shame if we do not do what is expected of us. This horrendous doctrine would make all God's saints mercenaries, inspiring obedience and faithfulness by either the threat of punishment or by the promise of reward. I challenge anyone to find a single example of such base carnal threats against redeemed sinners in the New Testament. Such doctrine is as offensive as it is unscriptural, because both dishonours our God and assumes that God's people do not really love Christ, that they are not motivated, inspired, and governed by that love and by that their heart's concern for the will and glory of God. Number two, this base, carnal doctrine of earned reward in heaven robs Christ of the glory of his grace and makes room for human flesh to boast before God. If you and I do something that puts God Almighty in obligation to reward us, then we have a right to boast in his presence. If we do something by which we merit a higher standing than others in glory, why should not we boast about it? Number three, the doctrine of degrees in glory has the obnoxious odour of works about it, and there is no room for works in the kingdom of grace. The glory of God will not be worshipped upon an altar of hewn stone. Exodus 20, verse 25. He will not be worshipped upon an altar built by our hands. There is no room for the baggage of works in the straight and narrow way. One text. There is one text of Scripture which both destroys the doctrine of degrees of reward and assures every believer of an everlasting fullness of joy in glory. The text is Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven is a place of joy without sorrow, laughter without weeping, pleasantness without pain. In heaven there are no regrets, no remorseful tears, no second thoughts, no lost causes, no sorrows of any kind. Will you be among the blessed company of the redeemed? Will you be with Christ in glory? You will only enter into glory if you are worthy of heaven. You can only be made worthy of heaven by the merits of Christ. If you are worthy of everlasting glory, you shall have all the glory of heaven itself, without degrees, perfectly. The very glory that God the Father gave to the God-man mediator, that great mediator, has given to his people. John 17, verses 5 and 22. Trust Christ, and all the glory of Christ in heaven is yours. All who believe on the Son of God are heirs of God, and more, we are joint heirs with Christ.